As we did last Sunday, on one of your inserts, there's some notes in there that just kind of helps you kind of stay anchored as I talk through everything this morning. And this morning's an interesting one because this is, as you see in the title, us. And from the Vision Framing Committee, thought this would be a good time to do a sermon on what we've been talking about over the last, I think it's 5 months. There's a lot to it. And so I think those notes, just not that they follow through necessarily exactly, but it gives you a place to continue to come back. So for the last 5 months, the Vision Framing Committee has been meeting once a month after church to determine who we as a congregation are. Katie, Tom, Melanie, Dave, Caleb, Rick, Kim, Cameron, and myself have been praying, discussing, and questioning who we are as a body, as a church. Today is the extended explanation of what we as a group have found. What the committee has summarized thus far is important as we look to the future call of a new pastor with the upcoming retirement of Mark. So that when the time comes to post the job, to put out the call, the potential candidate knows what's in the box, so to speak, at our Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Let me start with our gospel reading for today, specifically Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's a great verse. Think of who it applies to. Are you new or still feel new to this thing called church? Have you spent most of your life not in church or in church? What about being in a church that told you your conformity is where you must start the moment you walk in through the door? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, is not a quote from a modern college professor or theologian or even Peter, John, or Paul. This is Jesus. This is God telling us with a gentle hand on the shoulder, come, sit, and rest. I will say that Paul does give his take on who can and should come and rest. In Colossians 3:11, Paul says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Paul is regularly quoted by Christians on how to live out being a Christian, but does he get the recognition he should for what we see here in Colossians 3? Not only is he telling us who is to come to Jesus, it's everyone, by the way, but also who Christ is. Christ is God, and it is in God's image we are all created, and God resides in each of us, no matter who we are. In looking at the verses leading up to Matthew, verse 28, the come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, in verses 25 through 27, Jesus tells us where this statement of gentleness, warmth, and kindness comes from. Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and who the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus starts by giving thanks that the mystery of who God truly is has not been revealed to the wise, who can be filled with pride and arrogance, but instead revealed it to humble children. We see a great contrast here in the comparison of the wise and learned to humble children. Jesus is pleased to reveal himself to the children and gives thanks for the humble masses, again, children, who have opened their hearts and minds to God's true nature. What we know of God's true nature is told to us by Christ himself. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. In short, we know what we know because Jesus has told us. Without Jesus, our knowledge of God's goodness becomes unthinkable. Jesus has revealed what we know of God through the life, death, and resurrection of himself. Our faith in Jesus is our recognition of God giving himself to be received. This is why when we read Jesus saying, "Come to me," we many times are drawn in with a weary heart, heavy with burdens, seeking rest. And not because it's the logical, educated thing to do, but because there is a need. Jesus says, "Come and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." These are children, humble masses who hear Jesus reveal the nature of God. The Father and the Son know one another because there is no separation. And the revelation that Jesus shares with us is that he, Jesus, God, is gentle, humble in heart, and will give your soul rest. The first statement that the committee came up with is helping people find peace in the indwelling of God. Meaning, what we are even attempting to do here, week in and week out. And what we just went over from Matthew 11 fits very well with helping people find peace in the indwelling of God. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What a great definition of peace. Rest for the weary, that God has shown to us through Christ, that God is gentle with love for us and desires for our souls to learn who God truly is. Indwelling of God and coming to a place of peace with that indwelling. In looking back on my notes from our meetings, I see two lines of thought. One is the logical understanding that God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is indwelled in us as Jesus has shared with us who God is. This is our knowledge of God, that the good news of Jesus in life, death, and resurrection, that we know this because Jesus shared this knowledge of love and grace with the disciples, who then have passed it along generation after generation. This knowledge lives inside of us. But this statement is not finding logic in the indwelling of God. It's finding peace in the indwelling. That we believe in the incarnation of Christ, that Jesus is God made flesh, that the Son knows the Father and the Father knows the Son, and we believe Jesus in John 14 when he says, "I will ask the Father to send you an advocate to be with you forever." As in, that advocate has never left. Coming to peace with the indwelling of God is not that we are left with just the Spirit. John 14, 20 and 21, "On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you." Indwelling of the Spirit is God living in each of us. Coming to peace with this can maybe be difficult. We've all heard some version of what this next statement is. "Well, friend, you just need to accept that Jesus loves you." Or, "If you would just repent, then you can have peace." Or possibly my favorite from all the Southern evangelists on TV when I was a kid, "Y'all just need to get some Jesus." Now, there is a certain truth to these statements, but finding peace, accepting both who God is, gentle, loving, patient, and that the Spirit, God, is in you, and that we need to understand this is God working to give your weary soul rest. And to be honest, few accept in faith these things on their own without living in communion with others. it's a good reminder how much we all long to be truly known, that such a huge act of vulnerability can lead to tremendous peace and acceptance. Our statement starts with helping people. And that is not simply an outward statement, but an inward one as well. Let me reshare what Kim shared a couple of weeks ago. Here's what she said. Here's what we have so far. We, as a body, our deepest desire is helping people find peace in the indwelling of God. And how are we doing that? And Kim shares a number of things. By resting in the fact that Christ is truth and Savior, knowing that Scripture is true and God breathed, that authentic relationships that bear each other's burdens with care and support. We pray, we welcome, and in that we accept each other's differences. We give and receive compassionate grace. We seek covenantal peace and desire to be a place where souls can rest. Prayers can be offered, and the sacraments received with open hands. We are a body of generous service to both local and international missions. We are community partners. Our congregation is full of willing volunteers. And we are defined by our communal worship. Our church services require something from you and are full of liturgy, prayer, and communion. We participate in God's holy sacraments. In short, here are the six things that Kim beautifully summarized. Christ is truth, compassionate grace, authentic relationships, covenantal peace, generous service, communal worship. In Kim's summary, we see both inward and outward actions. No one is asked or expected to do any of these things alone, because we're not supposed to. There's nothing here this morning that we are to do alone by ourselves. In going back over my notes from the last 5 months, I found two quotes that I want to share. The first is, how do we get this conversation down on paper? Every meeting was like this, where there were moments of faith professed in ways I could never have imagined formulating into words. And each time the group would pause and just give a nod of approval. We just sit in it, in 5 to 10 seconds of silence, letting it seep in. In the moment, it almost felt too big of a task to put pen to paper. And as we went through this process, it just almost felt impossible to document or even come up with the thoughts or ideas we needed. It was when we began to speak out loud and really listen to each other that the Spirit seemed to take over. What felt impossible suddenly had clarity and purpose. It was definitely Spirit-led. The other quote I found in my notes was this: peace that passes my understanding. I don't remember the intention of this statement, but I will say this. Shalom, peace in Hebrew, has many uses. In relation to the quote, peace that passes my understanding, shalom, peace, is spiritual well-being, righteousness, and truth. Having shalom, peace, and hope is the counter to the chaotic world that we live in. The New Testament shows the fulfillment of this hope because in Christ, peace and hope have come in God's grace and mercy. The peace that God is great, that I can't wrap my mind and heart around it. In our last meeting, we found ourselves wondering, what next? In a matter of under 10 minutes, these three things were shared and made very, very clear. First of all, everything here points to communion. Everything points to the table. The Son of God is the revelation of who God is through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that each and every week we come by the grace that Christ hands open to receive communion because we are saved by the grace that Christ has poured out to us through his actions on the cross. That God fought the righteous battle that we could not win for ourselves. That God fought this battle for our salvation. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All that we do in worship each week points to the table of Christ. Second, our Redeemer is a place to be, meaning a place to belong. Come as you are. Sit where you want on Sunday morning. We don't really care. Sit in the left, the right, the middle. Sit on the back pew. Sit in the cry room. Heck, get crazy. Come sit up front with Mark and I. Okay, that's a little too crazy. But just get here. Get here so we can shake your hand, call your name, put a hand on your shoulder before taking communion or before you leave for the week. We know each other by name. Third, let the Spirit work. In Kim's summary, she shared that there are 10 of us on the Vision Framing Committee, 9 people and the Spirit, and that the Spirit indwells, because the Spirit is our advocate, because the Spirit of God is God in the Father, Son, and Spirit. The Spirit works in each of us and in the world. We struggle at times with the how or why of a situation, maybe a person. We just need to be there, wherever that is. So let the Spirit work. Each of these three items from the last meeting tend to work in a circle. Each week we come, worship, let the Spirit work. Each week, by God's love and mercy, we pray for one another and then come forward to the table for communion. Each week, by the power and love of the Spirit, someone will put a hand on a shoulder in comfort or just recognition of, "Hi, I see you," and we go with one another to take communion. Each of us have had this experience and will continue to. Those of us on the Vision Framing Committee will continue to be guided by the Spirit to do the work I finish today and to do our best to share what we have found or realized. I finish today with a couple of verses. And just so you know, almost all the scripture from today has been listed by the committee as an effort to describe us. I'd also like to point out, I wish Melanie was here, because I gave this sermon to her like 2 weeks ago, because I was like, I don't want this to be me, I want this to be us. What am I missing? And she found some stuff I was missing. And I think that's just kind of a great example of how we live. Here's your two verses. The first is Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." In Isaiah 54, 10, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Helping people find peace in the indwelling of God is living with who the true nature of God is as revealed in Jesus. Have faith in who the Son tells us the Father is, and that the Son has asked the Father for you to have a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to walk with you and live in you. In the effort to describe us, our part in the body of Christ, haven't we also described the glory of the Trinity, God, three in one, in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This, my friends, is the good news of Jesus our Lord today and always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, let us pray.